Welcome back.
This is podcast, the Slide In Podcast, episode 29.
The nightly version.
The nightly version. First time shoot at night. Store had been getting pretty busy to shoot during the day. I actually want to double check this and make sure it's 28. I'm starting to second guess myself. This is episode 29 of the Slide In Podcast.
Welcome back.
Oh. sorry, everybody who got confused at the beginning of that. Well,
I'm sure it was just
iron that out
tragic for them.
Something. We've got a very special episode today in that we are going to start with what's Kelly pissed off about. And Kelly doesn't know what he's pissed off about yet.
I can tell you one thing.
What's
I ate that freaking pretzel you gave me while I went home. I got heartburn so bad I didn't know if I could do this.
Really?
Thing. I ate that much of that shit you put
like
in your body.
3/4 of an inch of a Dots pretzel in the barbecue flavor.
There's more freaking chemicals. It almost killed me. I'm pretty certain there was some kryptonite in the son of a bitch. By the time I walked home, there was a spot right here trying to dig around in my guts.
And I ate that whole bag. Now, over the course of a week.
Explain
Dots pretzels. If anybody works at Dots pretzels, let us know.
Yeah, probably not the
intro to sponsorship
for me, but whoa.
Actually, if there's anybody at all that wants to sponsor our podcast.
Could have been an oyster too.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that.
Like best things for you though.
If there's anybody that wants to sponsor our podcast, you work for a company, you think it would be a great fit, let us know. We're starting to search for those. Dots pretzels, I like them. Kelly doesn't.
Everybody likes. I like that. I like the other ones that were in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't like the barbecue ones. They're
not any barbecue kicked my ass anyway. Smoked and barbecue.
Okay, so that's one thing Kelly knew he was pissed off about.
All my buddies, you know, the knitting club.
Yeah.
Dave, Mon, and Eric. Oh, God, they live on that shit.
Yeah, it's
barbecue,
great.
But of course it's Texas barbecue, so there's a difference. Of course there is.
We don't have
sorry,
a lot of
Dave,
barbecue.
It's all here. Bad for you. It is so good, though. Sorry, where were
you? Okay, so you don't know that you're pissed off yet, but you're going to be.
Cool.
Our
talk about politics.
No. Our shipping manager, Chris Bianchi, down at the North Slide.
Oh. Did we get to show his fish?
If he gets me the 30, photo by
that's
now.
That's 30 plus.
Yeah, he got a giant fish on a little road
trip. He deserves
trip.
It more than anybody. Fish is harder and more than everywhere.
The guy puts a lot of miles on his car going around.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
So he got a giant one. If he gets me the picture in time, we'll put it in here. It's a hell of a fish. We'll post on Instagram at some point. Just absolute beauty.
Giant hand.
Giant. But that's not what I was going to say about Chris. Chris texted me last night saying, you got to get Kelly rolling on this. He had a run-in with someone who came into the North Slide yesterday, who might just be a fishing guide, picked up an MFC boat box and a bunch of streamers, put them down on the counter and said, do you guys still not do a guide discount? And Matt said, I'm sorry, we don't do a guide discount. And the guy said, well, I'm going to go somewhere that does a guide discount, and just walked out and left all the shit.
That's where
the
fishing company does.
Yeah.
They go down the street. It's our direct competition. They do.
Yeah, they do a guide discount. So I thought, and it was Chris's thought, but Chris wanted you to talk a little bit about why you don't do guide discounts.
I do up here. We give guide beer discount.
There you go.
Well, the premise is so f***ing easy. You don't work for me. As I've told 100 different people, but the discount we do, and I did this for my own guides in the old days, I would tell them, I don't buy hundreds of thousands of dollars anticipating how many guides come in here a day? 60?
Yeah, busy season.
A day
a
that
lot.
Don't work for me?
Right.
I don't buy my shit for the guy who wants a discount. He's too goddamn lazy. By the way, most of them work for other shops.
Yeah.
Right? And that was one of the most reoccurrent things when I started here. I would say, you know, we don't do guide discounts, but if you tell us what you want, we'll order it for you at cost. Not even a discount. Just straight, whatever it is. But they're too goddamn lazy to do that. So kiss my ass if you're that lazy, right?
Yeah.
And then I would say, but we do a guide discount. No, or on beer,
yeah.
Right? We don't charge for beer. We do, which whatever we pay for it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sweet. I can get that other stuff at my shop. Why would I give just because... As I told one of these fucking morons, you know, the guy that cuts our lawns in the outdoor industry too. I had a guy that was that was a climber. It's not just fly guys. I had a climber come in who 30 years ago, he was a guide at Tetons.
Yep.
A mountaineering guide. But he hasn't done it for 30 years. But he was in the... I said, well, you're going to help me out a lot. I mean, the whole idea of disco... I don't like any of it. I already talked about this. Jesus, there's just... Go to fucking Bass Pro and ask for your... They can afford it. Go in and ask Bass Pro. Go into, you know, Sportsman's Warehouse and say, what's my discount? These are, you know, private equity owned giant fucking businesses. So go in and ask them. They can afford it.
Right.
Don't go into a mom and pop shop and say, what's that? You get a 40 margin in this business, right? So I just want everybody to think about this. If I gave a 10% discount, that is 25%. For those who can't do math, that is 25% of my profit. Now, do if you want 40, but can we work in 25s? Just there's only 40%. So 10, 20, 30, 40 is 100% of my profit. But think of that when you go in and you're going to hit somebody up for a discount. So you're too goddamn cheap to... Any guide can get on pro staffs. Jesus Christ, that pro... I hate pro staffs too. I mean, it's like, bro, what do you got for me? Kiss my ass, go get it. So we could get really pissed about this, but it was all the whole thing. It's like, not to mention that everyone that's walked in, I've said, all you got to do is tell me, I'll order it for you, and you'll get it at cost. So, but yeah, too lazy.
It's just about having your shit together.
When I was in Michigan, I had this sheet, and it would be for especially for our new guides, and it was spring steelhead. And I said, here's the deal. Because if you order for what historically you've sold, right? And so then you've got, let's say it's Maxima in Michigan, it'd be Maxima 6 and 8 pound for tippet, for steelhead. And so you get, and much like a lot of businesses, when something's a hot seller, you frequently can't get it from the distributors. Like if in that area, you know, there was two distributors and Maxima, you know, and if five or six, you know, shops start buying the hell out of it, suddenly you can't get it.
It's all about demand forecasting, right? It's why you do preseason orders. They're trying to understand.
Yeah, by the way, we buy our shit a year in advance. If, for those of you who don't know how the business works, there's not some giant warehouse with every, like in particular flies. There is no giant warehouse. It's just you buy, how it works is in September, sometimes August, the reps show up, you anticipate what you're going to need next year. Now, for me, I don't know what we carry in flies, somewhere in the 250,000, maybe more. And that's a lot of flies. I mean, thank God Johnny has this math brain and he can sit down and do it. So we're buying hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shit and we have to plan it. But then in comes a hot fly. And this in particular, for example, when the Water Walker first hit and was like, holy shit, right?
Dornans,
yeah. All this salmon fly. It's hot. Everybody wants, and it happens every year with some salmon fly because that's the big fly here. And so in comes 15 guides who are too lazy to have their shop get them or the shop wouldn't take the time. And they want our best selling fly at cost. So I make zero. And then my customers don't have them, right? Same thing I was saying about my guides in Michigan when I said, here's your sheet. And it lists after 20 years of doing it, here's what you will need for spring. And this is what you have to buy to guide for me here. This is what's going to get you through 6 weeks of steelhead season. I said, but if you run out, I don't give you a discount when you walk back in. But if you get everything on this sheet, by the way, I would fund it and they could pay me at the end of the season, when they're, you know, flush.
Line of credit, right?
Yeah. So it's just a line, and I'll buy it, but get everything on this. Every single one, other than Russ, every guide would come in halfway through the season and say, I'm out of 6 pound. And they'd want a discount on it. You're talking about $6, right? That's just stupid. And ignorance should not be rewarded.
Right.
And so every guide here that asks for a disc, not even if they don't work for me, yeah, but you got to order it in advance. Just like I do $1 million worth of inventory in these stores, I have to do all that in advance. Well, and I have to take the risk.
Do you remember the one kid who he works for Samson, who, you know, asked us about a guide discount. We said, ah, sorry, we don't do that, but we will order at cost for you. And he came in with like a, I don't know, 500 item Excel sheet. And it turns out the kid was commercial tying, and Matt looks at it and goes, dude, with this kind of volume, you could basically become
open your
a dealer.
Own account.
Yes. Yeah. You can open your own account with this sort of volume.
And
so
for those of you who don't know, if you are a commercial tire, you can approach all the bigger companies.
Yeah.
Like if you need materials, you can go to any of them. And I've shared that with everybody. That's why I may be the only person this, I'm not afraid of profit and I'm not afraid to make it. I mean, I'm trying to run a business. It's not a charity case. And you're only talking, and I, by the way, have never taken a discount from anybody ever. Ever. I walk into fly shops all over the world and they try to give me a discount. I know how little we make on it. Why would I, especially if I go into a friend of mine, like I said, the guy, Joe Del Schneider, at Madison River Fishing Company, which people seem to think that we don't like each other for some reason because we're competitors, and which is total bullshit. I mean, we get along great. We go drinking. But it was like, I just told the guy, there you go. It's right down the street, right? Go down there. But like I've told Joe, they're coming down there to put you out of business. I mean, it'd be a rare day in this shop we don't get 20 guides. Shit. You could have that in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And
they often do, right?
Yeah. Well, the first 2 hours. I mean, it's like, holy shit, here we go. And so trying to forecast your buy for people that you're not going to make money on. And then you say, let's say it's a bad year. Now you're carrying, maybe you carried, if you did every one of those and you carried that inventory forward, you could be out 50, 60,000 bucks. Yeah. Well, I didn't start a business with some piece of shit that's too lazy to do it. And there's lots of them. I mean, look at Trey and guys like that. They come in and just, they give us a list. It's a very detailed because they're really organized guides. And they know exactly how many, you know, Spanish bullets and green they need and how many this and how many that. And here it is. Every spring, for any of you that want to do it, there's a box that says Trey Brash on it. And he's got...
I made that box. Yeah. I remember unpacking
and
a fly order.
Thousands of flies
in Scotty Hall.
Yeah.
Johnny McClure.
And if you look at Trey who Brash. Does it, they're the best freaking guides there are.
I was going to say, it's hard to beat those three guys.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who are prepared and organized.
Exactly. And it's the cat that walks in. It's like, oh, he's hungover. And like, oh, shit, I forgot my puck of flies. Good discount. Dude, ignorance should not be rewarded. So But like I said, you should go to Bass Pro and Cabela's and Sportsman's Warehouse and ask them for your discount. Right? Because they can afford it. They aren't even owned by human beings. They're owned by private equities or whatever, giant corporations, and they can afford to it, right?
Yep.
Mom and pops can't. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't do it myself, and I don't think others should. And so I don't have any problem telling them to kiss my fanny. I mean, it just is what it is.
Yep.
I mean, and it kind of goes for a lot of the feel-good things that, you know, the heartstring ones too. I have spoke as much as anybody in the world. I mean, I've spoke all over the world. I used to do 30 to 50 a season.
So Kelly does teaching seminars for those people.
All over. I mean, I've done it for 30 years. And every club and I do a lot of stuff with Project Healing Waters. I'm a big fan and I donate a lot of stuff to them, but I don't do discounts for everybody that's part of them. And I don't do a discount for every TU group and every this and every that. If I did, we'd be built. It would be over.
Right.
People say, oh yeah, I get a lot of requests for stuff too. Try 200 a year. So about every second day, I get a request from because I spoke there and they paid me. So now it's almost like, I have an obligation to, well, I can't. And even if you gave $50, do the math, right. You know, times 200. But remember, that's 200 a year, but I've done thousands. And so they're all my best friends. And you just can't do it as a business, you know, and you just have to know what to do. That's why we do that if anybody's curious about Colleen, what we do is we pick 10. We do 10, and it has to be a legit company, you know, legit, like a big TU group or whatever. But we do 10, 2 days stay and two nights lodging and a guide. And that's, we give that away and we charge for the guide, just my cost on it. So, and then they got to sell it for more than it's worth. And the whole idea of that, again, so you don't get cheap asses. And whenever you get the person, and we always tell them, it has to show the actual value. You have to sell it for more than the actual value, because that tells you this is your club. I've been drunk at a lot of these clubs and spent, I got drunk at my TU roast and bid on my direct competition's lodge and guide trip.
Yeah.
Right. And then when I sobered up, I'm like, did I really buy his deal? And, but I ran it up to about, I don't know, $2,000. It's my club. The idea of being at your club is not to get a deal and not make your club money. The idea is to make your club a lot of money. Right. So you get drunk and you pay too much for something. That's what makes it fun, right? And that's what makes the money for the club, so you can have a club and so you can do the things you do. But as a business owner, you really, there's just this point where you have to say, why am I here? And when you are me or Joe Del Schneider or Joe Moore and or, you know, Mike Lawson, or whoever it is, right? When you are that person, every person, that, if you're a good shop owner, everybody that walks through that front door, you better be your friend, yeah. Right? But I don't think, as if you're my friend, I don't want to take your money. I don't want to do that. And if it's just, so when you think of the shop owner as, oh, he's some rich guy. Oh, really? Really? The rich guy, right? Well, how do you know that? And why do you want to, and then, you know, you're pretending that we're friends, but then you want to take something from me. Well, you just sold out. I just realized you're not my friend because I don't do that to other people.
What have you done for me lately?
I mean, Rich Strolis is one of my favorite guys in the country, right? Rich is a great guy. Richie Strolis, and he's a commercial tire, has never asked for a deal. I'm like, Rich, you're a commercial tire. And sometimes he runs out of shit and I send him whatever. He refuses. No discounts. And I'm like, well, of course I'm giving him one because he won't take one, right? Yeah, yes. So now I'm pissed off because here's a guy with integrity.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then I get somebody that I've never seen, walks in, slaps down shit, and expects to get a discount. Well, no.
Yeah.
You know, try it in any other industry in the world. Go into your favorite hardware store and buy a new riding lawnmower. And say, what's my discount?
See, I've got a lawn.
Yeah.
I'm in the lawn industry.
You know, I'm in the lawn industry. Yeah. I weed whack my yard and sometimes the neighbors. Oh, great. What's my discount? But in fly fishing, because everybody's, and it's a little bit of the culture. I remember
very much
the same thing.
Bro bra culture.
Yeah, a ton of, Yeti Nation. Like you know, I'm flying your colors. It used to be, you charge for stickers, I'm going to put it on my truck. Please don't. It's like, holy shit, dude. Is that thing going to make it to landing?
That's another one, by the way. At some point, we got to do the worst things you hear in the fly shop, which I know we're not supposed to scoff at anything, but there's some stuff that gets annoying. And one thing.
The sticker thing's always.
When somebody comes up and goes, you charge for these things? It's free advertising. I'm putting it on my cooler.
Yeah.
Which yeah, you, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Your skanky ass is going to sit on all day, and who's going to see it? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Yeti, dude. Yeah, bro. But yeah, I was really happy until you brought that up. This is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Do this first so we're all pissed off.
All fired up.
Yes. But I know in the ski business, I remember the same thing.
Ski business is I'm not even sure it's the worst. I think it's the same as the fly fishing business, but everybody wants a deal.
It's always the same.
Myself included. I like deals. You know?
Well, you know.
I'm part of the problem.
But I like... I don't, maybe I was raised different. I don't know. But because my dad wasn't big on that shit either, you know, because it was always somebody we knew. Well, I went into Don Orr's ski house to buy my skis. That means Don Orr owned it.
Well, that's,
A guy.
I think that's the difference. Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, if I go to, right, I am a ski professional, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in the industry. So I can go to the manufacturer
right.
And generally get a pro deal on that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
but I don't walk into the family, like the Roundhouse in Montana, right, which is a, you know, individual owned business.
I love that place.
I don't go in there and go, hey, I'm a ski instructor. Can I get a deal on this? You know, just there's rules, there's do's and don'ts.
And that's the whole point. If you are in the industry, every guide, I think every guide, if they would just sit down, I mean, look how long it took Matt to get on Sitka's pro staff. But what's Matt been hunting? About a week?
Yeah.
Right? He's got his like
one,
a second.
One and a half.
Got like a second gun or some shit.
Yeah.
Right? And he's on, of course, he's.
Well, not pro, but whatever, pro deal. Yeah, yeah. Pro staff and deal are different, I think. Pro staff's like, you know, you're on their website.
Oh. I just remember when Jeremy was skiing and how much, like, when I worked with Tim Rajeff at Airflow. And by the way, I left SA to go to Airflow, and now I'm Cortland. But I went there because Tim and I were really good friends. Then they got bought out, again, private equity, whatever. And no, the guys who bought it are all good guys and all that. But that's why I was there. And Tim and I got into, and I designed a bunch of lines with him, and it was really fun. And then when he got bought out, it was like, not so fun, right? And I didn't know the people. And Cortland had been asking me to jump ship for a long time. And I loved Cortland, but I'm in bed with a really good friend, right? And, well, that didn't sound right. But,
wait, well, what?
Just kidding, baby. so any rate, we got talking about the pro deals, pro staff.
Yep.
And I looked at it. I go, you got to be shitting me. How many people? I said, show me. I don't know one human being on this. Never heard of them. And they're all getting these deals. And I said, so how many people need 20 lines? Where do you think those are going? To your bro bra. And so I said, this is the dumbest thing I know. And I had been a long time. I mean, when I was a kid, Hart gave me skis. They give a handful of people around just to be seen in them, right? Mm-hmm. And go ski, big deal, right? You got to get them for half off or some shit. You get two or three pairs. And I asked Jeremy, I was just some okay skier that, you know, people looked at. But Jeremy was big time, right? Jeremy's in another league.
You could argue at one point Jeremy was right up there with the best tele skiers in the world.
Maybe top three ever.
I mean, he's competing in big air on tele skis. Yeah, not a lot of cats doing that.
Way back, too. Yeah. And so I said, what's the criteria for you? Well, I had to do three. I had to be in this many resorts.
This many
a
comps.
Season, this many. Yeah. I have to post so many pictures, so many videos. I have to do so many sim. I go, you're shitting me. It's like a business. He goes, do it. If you don't do it, you lose it. And I was like, wow. And in our industry, everybody that fishes, right, they think, you know, a deal. And so I was really anti all of that stuff because all it does is, you know, you're talking fly lines, it just erodes us. If we don't make the money, I mean, if you haven't noticed, not a lot of fly shops left in the U.S. I mean, they drop like flies every day. And it's the same old shit. You just, you know, guys get into it and they were really hip. I used to hear it constantly. Man, when I retire, I'm going to start a fly shop. I'm like, oh, good luck with that, you know. Yeah, you're going to sit around and drink coffee, right? Yeah, that's what we do. That's how all this shit gets here. And that's how you keep marketing, is just drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And but I used to talk to these guys, and the other one in the old days was, and again, we work on a 40. So in the old days, you bought a fly rod, you had to throw something in. And so you threw a fly line in. And it would be the equivalent of today. It would be the equivalent of a $1,000 rod, but a fly line's $100 and some bucks. Can you throw in a fly line if I buy a rod and reel? Well, that fly line is 25% of your profit.
Yep.
And if you think about it, anybody out there and every guide that's too cheap to, you know, order it in advance or have us order it for you, just think of every guide that stepped in your boat said, what's my deal? Can I get a 25% discount? Why? Well, we fished together last year.
I'm a really good guy.
Ah, great guy. You know, I'm a good tipper. Great. No.
Yep.
So I guess that's what I'm pissed off. I was having a great day.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thanks, Chris,
way
for
to
the question.
Way to ruin my evening dinner.
And great fish, Chris. I mean, that's truly a stud.
Way to see this thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
You know, when you see a person holding a fish like this, and they're not
doing this yet. Yeah,
they're doing this, and you can see it's kind of a struggle, and you can see that it's way out each end. Chris is a pretty big guy. Hands are like this, and it's like, oh, hanging off both ends.
That was a heavy fish.
That's it was cool as shit.
How heavy do you think that fish was?
I just glanced at it. I mean, he said 30, and I said, I think it's bigger than that. I mean, it looked bigger than that to me. I don't know, probably rolling in it. It's a hen, so, and it was post-spot. So she might not be as heavy as she would have been last year, but, easy 10, probably, I'm guessing more like 11 and a half. Yeah. That's a lot. You know, a pound on a fish is gigantic, yeah. You know. So it's a big one. But I just kind of quick got a glance. I haven't really looked at it longer.
You want to see it again?
No.
Okay.
I'll look at it.
It's a big one.
And it's in the water so much that down. So it's got his hands up in it, and its pot belly's not.
Yeah, it's hard to see the whole, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It's a giant fish. Great job,
Chris. You'll see it. It's
like you said, I don't know if there's a dude that deserves it more.
No, nobody's
not on our staff.
I want to meet somebody that puts as many miles on his fish as many places as that guy has. And has a freaking job.
Freaking exploratory missions, too.
Oh, huge. Nothing for him to walk 8 hours into something.
Yeah.
You know, fish that night, camp out, fish the next day and have to hike out and be at work.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll have...
And never bitches.
When I first moved out here, I was shocked. He'd have 3 days off. He'd drive 8 hours the night he got off, fish 3 full days, get off the water in the dark, drive all night, and then be at work the next morning.
In the other side of Wyoming.
Yeah. Or wherever. I mean, he goes everywhere. I remember, at one point he showed me just a brief glimpse at his Onyx.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The whole thing's just pocked.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just everywhere.
And I'm like, hey, you know, have you ever been here in Idaho? He goes, yeah, I went there, I think in like 2018. I camped here. This is a good spot. Go.
Yeah. I told him I would pay him to do that, but he won't post where he is.
Yeah.
I says, I'll do it, but I can't tell you where I went. I said, well, not really too much help to us, is it? It's like, not really doing the job.
But it's cool.
But nobody deserved it more.
No, he's he does a hell of a job out there. You know what fly date?
Huh?
Do you know what fly date?
Envy.
Yeah.
Olive.
All of Envy. Tales old as time. If you guys aren't fishing all of Peanut Envies, just get on the bandwagon.
Olive and black. And if you live back east, get the brown one because it's a chestnut lamprey. That's what that fly was eventually tied for.
Do you remember me telling you, Matt and I's first spring out here, the streamer fishing was insane. We were just hammering, you know, good fish, nothing giant, but big numbers of them. And we just kept laughing. All we were fishing was black or olive peanuts until the water got green. Then we fished yellow, a little bit of white in there.
I don't think you guys have changed.
No, we really haven't. But we just kept joking, like, are we good at streamer fishing, or do we just fish envies?
Yes.
And so if you're not on them, get on them. Slidein.com. That's our sponsor for today's show.
Since that fly came out, I used to keep numbers, right? I used to track everybody when they'd tell me, and I just had a little thing up front, and I would check. And then I'd go on the seminar circuit, and I'd be out, and I'd do my streamer thing. I'd say, I used to have a section that, well, you should know, you edit it. You took it all out. And the top fly is a 2008, right, or whatever. And the year the Envy came out for numbers, and it's never changed, it's always been number one. Barely Legal came in for a while, but that's a kind of more of a reactionary bait thing. They'll always eat a leech.
Yeah,
right?
you can fish it so many different ways.
Yeah,
too.
That's the thing. And it's still never changed.
Yeah.
As far as numbers, big fish, not necessarily, but... For overall numbers, you know, over 20-inch fish, always has been the...
By the way, that slideshow, I think you came to me originally and said, I need you to cut this down so I can get it done in under an hour.
I've never...
It was like 350 slides.
No, it wasn't. It was 168.
It was a lot of slides.
I mean, there was a bunch.
168 slides?
Yeah, and I get through it in 2 hours sometimes. I mean, and you just look out in the audience and they're like this. I've just seen too many flashing lights.
All right, so we're going to do a, what day is it today? It's Thursday, but this is going to come out Tuesday. This is going to be our Tuesday reading.
Reading?
Yep, we're going to do a reading.
I was going to, you know, when you were going to ask me what I'm pissed off about.
Yeah.
I was going to say that we don't read enough books, fishing in particular, because it's already starting to piss me off. Not piss me off like that other shit did. But when I ask people your age if they ever read Hatches, and I have yet to get one that said yes.
I am.
And it's like any of that historical butches, when we were talking with when Howard and we were talking about how we started fishing and you knew your hatches and your emergence, and I just, there's this dead spot now where people, and they can go online and look at it. I just don't think it's a thing. Like I've always said, when they told me once, when I wrote a book, I don't know which one it was, and John Randolph said to me, you should just do it. Who is the editor of Fly Fisherman, by the way? And he says, you should just ebook it. There's no future in books. This is the editor of Fly. And I looked like at him like this. And I said, do that to your fucking computer. Yeah. There's something that's great about the smell of old books.
So,
and so I was going to be pissed off and say, try reading, at the very least, look at the pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, I was telling you right now, I'm reading Fly Fishing Through the Midlife Crisis.
Oh, that's why you asked me.
Howell Raines.
Yeah.
I'm like halfway into it and just absolutely loving it. I've earmarked a couple pieces in it that I'd like to bring into the podcast maybe next week.
There's a lot of great stuff in that.
There are some good stuff. And the other thing you just reminded me of is, you know, I was out fishing with my friend Jack, who's out here now. And he, the other day he asked me, he's like, do you want to go nymph? And I'm like, it's not my favorite. Like, he goes, I kind of want to, because I feel like I jumped into fly fishing and got into streamers way too fast. And now I feel like I need to go back and like learn the basics. He's like, I don't think I really know how to nymph.
He's not the first one I've heard that. Yeah. You know,
I feel like
it's the same as Euro Trash. Yeah. You know, you go where those guys are starting to come back and they want to do something. And the same, and for those of you who call me a glorified crankbait fisherman, thank you.
I would love to
have
that.
I would love to have a sign that says that. Maybe I'll make one, and especially if it meant I was good at it.
Yeah, that would be a nice LED sign in the
yeah,
back.
Yeah, no shit, glorified or nightcrawler fisherman. That's good with me too. I love that one. But yeah, a lot of people have said that about streamer fishing to me. Guys, your generation, who just that's you know once they got into it, they just kind of left everything.
Well, that's right? What I did. I remember one day I couldn't buy a fish on a nymph, and I put on a woolly bugger and swung it. And I got a rainbow to jacket and cartwheel downstream, tied a shitty knot, broke off, and I went, ooh.
That was cool.
Adrenaline. I like that. And then, you know, the spay thing, and then all of a sudden I had to go back and kind of learn the basics, and not like I'm a pro at them, but.
I never lost my way in the pures, like, for a few years. I mean, but that was in the experimenting and figuring things out. But I was always a dry fly junkie. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I had 20 years of just dry fly and steelhead. That's it. And it's, there's just something about a dry fly, tying them in particular. After a while, tying streamers, you know, I did it yesterday. I just sat down and tied a dozen, which by the way, I can tie again.
Nice.
We'll see. Well, I had my second round of shots in my neck.
Neck shots worked.
And I don't know. Right now it did. I sat down, tied six flies, and never got a thing. So hell.
Nobody got that fly, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This thing, no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. One more shot. I'm going to show a close-up of it.
Yeah,
it's going to take a really good close-up. It is not a Mickey Finn. And there was two wet flies, not a Queen of the Waters. And it's not a Grizzly King. There was a couple of those.
What was the
it's
other one?
It's a very famous wet fly. And just think of this fly condensed smaller. I just made it to look like a streamer.
So it's a modified version of the original.
This?
Yeah.
No, that's never been a streamer. It's always been a wet fly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
this is a modified.
That, yeah. I just looked at that fly and said, I just love the fly. Always have. And I said what it would look like. I just want to do it as kind of more of a traditional classic streamer, you know, the little things, and which we will fish that tomorrow. Johnny's going to go batshit crazy.
He's
going to have on a natural dungeon or a yellow dungeon.
He's going to hate it. Yeah, we're filming tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow we're shooting the fishing show. And so 2 days.
2 days, yeah.
Maybe one day dry, we might go chase big bugs. We'll see.
Yep.
But yeah, have not, and I don't even know what we're going to give away. You know the other thing I thought about? Hmm. I never tied that guy his fly.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I couldn't get through.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah,
I got to go dig back.
I will get you your fly. I have not. That's why I brought this up. I have not for almost 7 months been able to. 5 minutes has been the max I could tie, and then I had this, like I had a stroke or some shit.
It's like your arm is all of a sudden made of lead. Oh yeah, I just like,
holy shit! And so I got these shots in my neck, and first round lasted 7 days. This one's almost 10, I think. So we'll see. So I will get you your fly.
Okay, so on to our Tuesday reading.
Oh, you're not kidding?
No, I wasn't kidding.
It's like a fireside shit?
No.
Dude, I'll let you know how this goes.
All right.
I don't know how much this I can take.
I can't remember
how many sentences?
A couple. I can't remember what I was doing, but I was Googling. I was trying to find some kind of info on you, and this popped up, and it's a Reddit post.
What's Reddit mean?
It's an internet.
One of them their internets?
Is one of them their internets. So this is from GitFiddle74. It's 2 years
ago. What is it? GitFiddle?
GitFiddle74. He said, Kelly Gallup almost cost me my life. While the wife was out running errands, I was going over my gear.
Saying the wife might get your...
Yeah, you might.
Right. There's a start.
Hopefully she doesn't know your Reddit name. Otherwise you're in deep shit, buddy. I was going over my gear prepping for an upcoming boys trip of fly fishing. Excited, I called up one of my buddies to see how ready we were. With my attention focused on the call, I hadn't noticed my wife return. I discussed in great detail all I was bringing. The conversation between us was straight business, however. My wife heard something completely different. Hey man, yeah, good to go. Got the sex dungeons lined up. Oh yeah, trying out the TNA, all the double D's. I don't know what that one is.
Double D? That was Schmitty's, one of Schmitty's bugs.
Gotcha. Yep, barely legals too. Got one in every color they had. Just one swinging D though. About the time I saw a glint in the sliding glass door, I turned around just in time to duck the 12-inch Griswold cast iron pan being swung at the old noggin. Apparently my wife of German-Irish descent overheard a completely different conversation. I was able to retreat to another room and pull up the recent fly order from my outfitter. It still took some convincing. I'm tempted to cancel my life insurance and tell her to sell my gear when I leave this earth for what I told her I paid for it. So there's our Tuesday reading.
Yes. I thought you meant you were going to go out of that book of midlife crisis.
No. And if I do, there's one line in there I liked.
There's a lot of good.
There are a lot, but one made me chuckle the other night. Mm-hmm. So a couple other comments from folks that we don't necessarily need to spend a ton of time on. Midwest Depths on YouTube said, I have an ugly girlfriend who can row. Get you an ugly one, they'll always row for you.
Got a beautiful one, show his rows.
There you go. I guess you can get a beautiful or an ugly girlfriend and have them row for you.
Who would say that? What if she...
I know. That guy's going to be in deep shit.
I got in enough shit. Mel listened to the podcast we did the other night when I called her a tramp. Oof, that didn't go over great.
No, I can
see... Shedhorn.com. Anybody that buys a gun from Mel and I hear about it, I'll send you something. Maybe I'll get something out of it. I don't know, but...
I'm sure that won't get you in any more hot water. Okay, this question is from Michael McDonald, 5109. I assume not the singer. Hey, Kelly and Braden, could you discuss specific streamers to be used for vertical jigging and if they are streamers equally suited for horizontal and vertical jigging? I'd like to simplify my boxes. Could you pick 4 different streamers in 4 or 5 colors that will suffice in most, if not all, the situations I might encounter in Michigan? I live north of Petoskey, Michigan, and I fished the rivers that Kelly fished, and then he names all of the rivers. He's fished them for 60 years. His name's Mike. Well, thanks, Mike. Thank you for your question. So I thought it might be fun if we just pause this video real quick and go grab 4 different streamers, and then we can kind of talk about the colors. You and I can grab separate bugs, lay them down. And I'm not sure, can you horizontal jig? I know vertical jigging. I feel like a horizontal jig would be more of a jerk.
That's how we do it. That's really what we do, because we don't really vertical jig. I call it a vertical jig in there in the book, but it's...
I remember when we were in Chile, you said the really way to only get vertical motion is basically be fishing underneath.
Yeah, well, that's vertical. Yeah. That's what truly, if you're jigging, like in the old days, not the old days, I mean today, but in the old days when I was a kid, before all the bass stuff, but vertical jigging would be right beside the boat, right? Yeah. And you do it for crappie and bluegills, and you do it for walleyes and deeper water, and you did it for white, all kinds of stuff really deep.
All over the salt water.
But I used to call it vertical jigging dying drifts. And a dying drift was the longer horizontal, kind of more of a long set as opposed to trying to get it to do. I just tied a fly for this, by the way. I didn't bring it over. A new one. It's going to crush it. I took it out back. Did I show you that one? It's with the very sparse. You got three browns in the back channel, just annihilate it.
Really?
I didn't land any of them, but one did a double chase on it and ran all the way across the entire channel and clobbers at the back. And it's just a fluttery thing. But we'll go get the flies. But to be certain, you can jig virtually a dungeon, anything like that. And you can peg them in the front of the nose or just slide a weight down or put a BB in front of it and get that horizontal on any fly you want.
I was going to say you need weight of some sort.
And I kind of started calling it what it should be. Not really, it's not the same, but I do a lot of stalling in my flies, right? And poof, doof, 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 kick it side and install it and let the currents do this. And that's different because somebody came in and asked me about that. And he says, "Is that what you mean by jigging?" And it's not. That's a horizontal. That's coming back this way and stalling the fly in the current, but it's not intended to make it go up and down.
Right.
Right. So you can peg. If you don't know what pegging means, it's a term for putting a worm weight on. And you used to peg. I think they use rubber ones now. I've been out of it too long, but just to toothpick it in and hold it where it belonged. Mm-hmm. So you pegged it. And you can do that, like I done it with cougars. I just run you've seen my little bead box I carry. Yeah. I just slide a 3/16. And I used to carry all these sizes. I just do 3/16 now. It's kind of a heavy bead, but it's not, I don't do anything like this size of the unnamed fly that got to come up with the prize. but that size fly, I generally am in Carolina where I put the stuff above the weight above a swivel or something like that. Cause I want, those are more fluttery stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can go grab them. But just to be clear, you can do it with any fly. I mean, I do the zoo cougars. That's like the worst because it's so buoyant.
I think the other way you can do it, I mean, how I've done it before I knew about your bead trick was just put a split shot on the head.
Just roll a split shot right in his face.
Like they don't care. They're good.
And it's a lot faster and slidey. And if you want to check something, I mean, If I'm checking just to see if they're eating a jig, you know, motion, I'm going to split shot it. Yeah. But when I know I'm going to fish that way, I run the bead down for whatever reason because I get to match that. I don't know. I carry four colors too. How weird is that?
Pretty weird. All right, let's go grab our four flies.
Four, huh?
Four flies.
I just thought of another thing that pisses me off.
What's that?
On my organic peanut butter, it lists the ingredients. Somewhere there's two things.
That should be in it?
Well, it's organic peanut butter.
It should be peanuts and maybe butter.
Peanuts. And that's it.
Okay.
Below it, it says, caution, there are peanuts in this product. Why do you have to fucking put that on? It's fucking peanut butter.
It's the hand-holding, the sink or swim. Let's put life jackets on everyone.
Yes. Okay. We're back.
All right. So
nobody heard that.
We all, I'll probably leave that in, maybe cut the bad words out. Yes. Kelly and I have each picked out four flies, except for Kelly can't count, so I think you might have five.
Six.
Six. We do not know what each other picked. I imagine, given that I have been fairly heavily influenced by Kelly in my fishing world, that we may have some overlaps, but maybe we don't. So let's lay them out. Thank you for the question, Mike, by the way. I think it can be helpful.
Duplicate.
What you got over
there? Duplicate.
Yeah. So we both picked an Envy and a Nancy P.
Yep.
And then I've got a big hole bug and a sick kitty.
And
what you got over there?
I put, I've got an Envy, a Nancy P, and then I have a Woolly Sculpin, that has got a hair head, not a cone. And I would tell you this because I also was going to grab, a lot of my flies are designed to jig. And that's, those are pretty obvious. Like an Envy is designed to jig like this. Yep. It's not meant to burn. And a Nancy is completely designed to do that. And so the big hole bug is designed to jig. So I brought some flies over that aren't designed to jig that I do frequently jig them. In particular, the Woolly Sculpin still, I mean, I'm not kidding you. If I was stranded, I'm not sure if I wouldn't have a Conehead Woolly Sculpin as my only fly because it's just too versatile. If I can have it in a few colors, it's just so incredible. But, and I brought some other ones over, and these are the same thing. I thought I'd grab both flatliners. I grabbed a bangtail. But flatliners, this fly is designed, it's a stall fly, like I said earlier, but this one jigged because of the orientation of the wings and the head, it's flat. And so if you can't see what I'm doing, this fly is designed to sit flat on the surface. It hooks down, and unlike the bangtails that are horizontal with their heads going up and down like a real minnow swimming, flatliners are on their side.
Yeah.
Right.
So for the people who are just listening.
If it was a dead minnow, it would be floating on its side, mm-hmm. not up and down like it's swimming.
Yeah.
Jigging this fly gives it an entirely new design. Like it just goes, it's what I just got done building the flies. I mean, I have the first tomorrow, we'll fish it tomorrow, you'll see it. And it's just a different way to do the same thing, right? But it's made to make a fly jig fast, right? So you can up and down. So flatliners is another one. And the Zoo Cougar is the same thing. Its orientation is horizontal, but now I'm trying to make it go up and down. And it's just out of the box. You can jig anything. But jig flies, like the one that Braden grabbed, the Nancy P, completely made to go, but it's on that longer, you know.
Longer plane. Wavelength.
Yeah. It's not, when I say vertical, and that's bad on me because I've called it that forever, because vertical jigging, you can, in reality, like you said, it's got to be right below you to just go up and down. It's a long horizontal, vertical up, long down, vertical, you know, but you're never really, in particular, if you're fishing spinning gear and you have, you know, you have mono or you've got, you know, fluoro, whatever you're throwing, you're going to cut through that water. When you're using a streamer and a sinking line, you don't get much vertical lift. And even on a floating line, because I talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I was
using
say,
floating and pegging or split shotting, but you're still, you're limited to how much that line goes underwater.
Yeah, it's Y-axis movement probably isn't as much as you think it is
right.
from 30 feet away.
Yeah, and then with a sinking line, if you get 10 inches of rise out of that, boy, I've told people this 100 times, just get drunk and get in your neighbor's pool and throw flies. And you'll see so much of the shit that we've illustrated over the years and said that the fly doesn't do it.
Right.
And that's why, or just take the time, like I always say, practice, go out where you can see your fly and see what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. What most people do is they sit right beside the freaking boat and they jig the fly up and down. Well, it doesn't mean shit because you can't do that 30 feet away from you. But it's real easy to get a long horizontal and just lazy it, you know, just make it less, you know, one plane. So you just, in particular, crayfish. And by the way, I think Woolly Sculpin are pretty much crayfish. And
that was one thing that jumped out at me at that Fly Fishing Through the Midlife Crisis book when he first talks about the woolly bugger.
Mm-hmm.
Says it was tied to imitate possibly a leech, but I think it's more of a crayfish.
He said that?
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
Stole my thunder.
But yeah, I'd heard you say that before about the,
When Jerry Dennis and I were, when he was throwing, we were just above McKinley when we were diving, or I was, and I had Jerry throwing those, all these crazy, in the day, all those really realistic looking in the fly box crayfish, right? They were just like, oh. And them son of bitches just spun. They were the most unrealistic things underwater. And I had some that were in the first book were just basically bunny. And they were just bunny up and two legs. And that looked pretty close. And then he threw a JJ. I was like, holy shit. Because when you see them underwater, you see a crayfish swimming, which, by the way, they don't do very much. They just don't swim very often. They crawl mostly. At least I did 7 hours of crayfish observation, which is an eternity because it's so freaking boring. They just don't do anything, right? Sit down there and just sit and watch. I mean, luckily, it's usually... did a lot of it. I don't even count all the time I wasted out in Lake Michigan watching them. Then I would just swim around watching them and watch them. I'd take a bunch of them and I'd let them go in different places, see where they go, right? So they go to a certain, because I was chasing smallmouth. So they go here and they go under this side of the rock. You know, I was trying to figure out how to jig stuff over to the rocks, blah, blah. And they go to here, but then they never moved. Mm-hmm. And the river ones were worse. I'm a son of a bitch just sitting along next to a log, never move until you poke them.
They don't want to.
No.
Why would they want to? Yeah, it's danger up there.
But I had to throw them up there to see how they would swim if they were dislodged, right? And I would just sit there and I'd have Jerry swing a fly at me. And because all you see when they do swim, I've said this in multiple podcasts, is you see their, you know, you'll see their tail scoop water and their pinchers. If you can't see me, I have my arms crossed in front of me. And what you see is they scoop with their ass, their pinchers are up, and there's always an air gap if you can't, you're not watching, you can't see what I'm saying, but my arms are crossed.
Your arms are in an X and kind of between your elbows,
out in front
right?
of me, yeah, and their elbows are out. And when they scoop with their ass, their bodies go sideways, and you see a light dark, and you see the gap between their pinchers. So when you take that, what you have, that
big hole bug,
it's two-tone. Very reminiscent of a JJ, if you haven't noticed.
which also, by the way, was just on the big hole, and I fished the big hole bug, and they ate it.
It might be
aptly named.
Well, I did it, but it is it's an adaptation of Johnny, the JJ. But when you look at them, you see a light dark. That's what you really see. Their bellies are much lighter than their carapace, the top of it. And when they scoop water, there's just always this flick, flick, flick color. You know, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. And he throws that freaking JJ yellow and brown. And I'm like, oh, all those really cool looking flies.
All the exacting
patterns. Freaking woolly bugger and it looks perfect. Right? And I'm like, got it. You know, doesn't look anything like a leech. Must somehow, because you can run with a son of a bitch unless it's lake in the world and they'll eat it.
I think if it's sparsely tied in the tail, then it's much leechier. But when, like a lot of the commercial patterns, the ones I've seen are really overdressed in the tail, and then you get that kind of triangular profile out of the back, and there they are, crayfishy. The other one I wanted to highlight was that silk kitty. That's probably my favorite jig bug. If there's ever a waterway where I think that there are fish holding in the bottom of pools, not necessarily deep, but...
For those of you who are watching... The silk kitty, great.
It's a great profile. It's got great action.
It's just a good minnowy thing too. Yeah. And that's the thing. Don't overthink the fish. Things that just erratically move or do have a very good rhythm movement, like an envy, they're going to eat it. Yep. I mean, it doesn't. I'm yet to see anything that's freaking olive in the water. Right? They eat the shit out of it.
Yeah, they do.
And in reality, there's not much, well, where we fish, not much really black either. I mean, we don't have leeches, right? They eat the hell out. It's the movement. It's that intrusion. It's a lifelike movement. I mean,
what's a blade?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they eat that?
Yeah, it's the movement, the vibration, all that.
They are fish after all. Yeah, I love that silk kitty. It's a great bug.
And I didn't grab one because I've not done it much, but Johnny's Kill Whitey, that thing is just so deadly the way it is. I haven't jigged that much, you know? And truly, I didn't really fish it that much until we were on the white that one time, and he kicked my ass pretty hard. And not because I won't fish. I just, especially back in the day, I was so just want to do a new, I was just designing flies constantly. And all I want to do is see what my fly would, you know, not that I wanted it, my fly, just what, it was always something I was building into the fly to see if it would do, mm-hmm. you know, like the flatliner. And just, and I would never do one fly with just one color. So I would tie five colors of the fly and go out and I'm just experimenting. Johnny's got one, he's kicking my ass, but it's back to the same old thing. When we know it's eating it, take it off.
Yeah.
Right. And find something there, another one they'll eat. Right. And so it wasn't that day. That was a pretty hard whooping. Right. It wasn't as bad as Stenerson kicking my ass down on those pink ladies, but pink Elberts. But holy shit. It was close because the fish were a lot bigger. Yeah. So
did they have brown spots?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're on the way. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that kill whitey, that's another great bug. I was fishing up between the lakes.
I just never jigged it.
I don't know if I was really jigging it the other day. I was fishing it slow, low and slow, mm-hmm. Which I guess is sort of that
that's
horizontal
jigging. I mean, it's just a matter of, are you,
the
difference is if you're trying to get something to go kicking back and forth and swim,
yeah.
that looks like it's racing, or are you giving it a long horizontal wavelength? I mean, is it just swimming along?
I liken it to the type of bite I'm trying to get out of it, right? So mm-hmm. like I kind of have the two columns. I know they come from you, but when I go out fishing, I always start trying to get a reactive bite just because they're fun. Get a fish to blow up on it,
nothing
you know,
bad.
Chase it fast, fish it fast, you know, bright colors. And then if they don't do that, then I move into my darker tones and generally slow things down. And
mm-hmm.
they weren't moving on the big white stuffs and, you know, slick willies, all that stuff. So I put on the olive mini kill whitey and just kind of clobbered them. Nothing big, but I got I had a ton of fish eat it. I didn't land all of them, but that's just streamer fishing. And but I was fishing it low and slow, and especially that olive one.
When you said slick, well, that's a fly I've never jigged. I mean, I designed that fly to do, and sometimes that's bad. I mean, I designed it to do something.
Yeah.
And that was be the fastest son of a bitch in the water, right? And never even thought about it, right? Never jigged it, never slowed it down. I stall it a ton, but it's after I burn it, right?
Yeah.
And it's so reactionary, so bright, but I've never tried it.
Yeah.
And so, and just so everybody gets it, because I've said many times here, but if you're going to try to vertical jig stuff, there's some things I wouldn't have in there. But if you're going to try to get lots of rise, we're talking about kind of a long, I mean, I'm popping a bug like that with Nancy, and that big hole bug, spectacular. Anything, it's got to have a pretty heavy head to get that big vertical.
Yep.
So, and I do that with that Nancy a ton, but more with the big hole, but where I try to get it to come straight up away from me if I can. I dry line that one a lot, but that's usually in pretty shallow water. I mean, 4 foot or less. And so I can, and you get, you don't get a really long retrieve with it because it just, up and down like that. And when you fish something like that, remember, you are targeting a fish, right? So I'm running those things, or I am. I'm targeting it on a shelf or a rock pile and coming off the rock pile. So that's where I do more vertically stuff than I do just like, well, I've never just sat out there and pulled, like let it hang straight below me. I've never done that in my life. I have on the lake. Not been very successful, but I've done it.
Yeah, that's what I was doing with the big hole bug over on the big hole. I was thrown into banks that had pretty steep shelves.
Yeah.
But it still looked like they held fish off bank.
Yeah.
And trying to get that vertical action, you know, it's not a super long cast, but
I try to come like I'll jig it like horizontal. Just, and if you haven't jigged, I mean, you really owe it to yourself. It's just like adding that arrow to your quiver, which one more.
Go watch our video we shot between the lakes. It's something like you need more than one streamer retrieve. I'll try to link it if I can find it.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But I mean, really frequently when I say I'm vertical jigging, I'll like lots of quick movements like where I see I'll come off a shallow bank that's coming off, and I particularly like it if it comes down and like almost looks like people stacked them, but it's not. You come off a 12, 14 inch bank and I work it on those horizontals, and then it drops off and it'll be like some rocks, right? I'll try to even tick them, tick, 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 and then let it drop down those things. Mm-hmm. And that's when I get my vertical. and it's kind of just, you know, heading down.
Dive bombing.
Boom, and catch it. I never let it go too far, maybe a foot, maybe 18 inches. Crick it up once or just something, and then let it keep going. And then I'm out, right? It's usually, yeah. And then back at it, right? And I also like to do, that's when I, same kind of water, I like to do those Carolina. We probably have that video of that Carolina rig when we were coming off those shelves. And you know, every time the fish is coming off, it's, and I think they feel it coming anyway. And they'll, like you were doing, and then you let it come off the side.
Yep.
Well, I think they already know it's coming.
They,
you know, they've felt that vibration. And that, even though it's a vertical, and by the way, when you talk about jigging, you get most of your eats on the drop. Even on a stall, like when you're going that long horizontal jig, make sure you're watching it, because you see a lot of mouths open, and you're like, oh, shit. When you see the mouth open, it's usually expelling your fly.
Yeah,
it's not usually like, oop, ate it, because it goes out just as quick as it went in, and it's like, whoop. So watch those things, and if it's coming straight back at you, do your best to throw that line downstream to set your hook, because if you see the mouth opening at you, if it's sideways, it doesn't matter. But lots of times when up between the lakes, when I fish, especially in the upper, I jig Nancy's, mm-hmm. right? And I would say I see 90% of my eats. And they're usually not much further than we are apart.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't throw far because I have to have control over it. And I get more control and I jig, and poof, see that white spot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, gotcha. Pretty cool. And they act just, it's another thing that teaches you just how close you can get to a fish.
Yes.
When you're up there and you see one eats it 5 feet from you and you're like, holy shit.
Oh God, half the time I'm trying to hook set. They're under me. I've got nowhere to go.
Oh, right. Shit. Oh. That's why I say do it down if you can. But
So wrapping up, we got to, oh, one other part of that question we didn't cover is colors.
Oh, on the jig flies? I don't really, I'm not, you know, and traditionally, like if I'm jigging on purpose and that's what I'm doing, it's going to be earth tones.
Mm-hmm.
But when I brought out the barely or the flatliner and the bangtails and stuff, I still will try some pretty reactionary colors on the day. And sometimes it's just the cadence that the fly is moving. They don't want to haul ass some days.
Yeah.
And I think that longer kind of long jig thing, still giving that action, but you get a, you know, brighter fly to come and get it.
Yeah, the white slick, the white envy are definitely
the yellow flat liner. But it's again, you really got to be on your A game on those to keep them moving. But overall, I would say you stay earth tone.
Yeah,
I would say if I'd, like I said, I'd have an Oliver Nancy and a big hole, they're kind of earth tone. The big hole is a yellow tail. And I mean, the peanut envy, it was designed to jig.
Yep.
So it's all of them. We've already established the number. This is the number one fly for our staff and pretty much anybody I talk to. Olive Envy is the number one fly there is.
I think closely followed by the Black Envy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm pretty certain Jake and
Kyler.
Kyler
Chuck.
And Chuck.
Well, Chuck fish
nothing
Chuck
but
bugs.
The two.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. Except for last week it turned. They stopped eating black as well up there and started eating olive a little bit better.
That's I said, one of the two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Someday they're going to reach out and try the brown one.
Yeah. To me, that's when I got that big fish with Bill on, was that the 28-inch rainbow was on the brown envy.
That's the only thing that I think actually looks like a leech.
Yeah.
And it was made with that the
lighter marabou.
It's the belly is... oh shit, it's the color. It's a saltwater color. It's tan, it's crustacean tan, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a UV tan, and then it's got the brown body. And you grab a, you know, and when you look at a lamprey, a chestnut, and that was, I told that story a couple episodes ago about being on the, between Warm Springs and the Falls below on the Henry's Fork. And we were eating lunch, and this, it's like a sci-fi movie, man, all these chestnuts. And when I, in Michigan, they're everywhere, right? I saw them constantly. They're kind of a really dark browny green, back and they've got a tan belly, right? And their little sucker face, all tan, you know, all the teeth and all that shit. And so, and that's what I saw down there. So the original one was that dark brown with the tan belly. And it just gets overshadowed by the green. Run that tan one. I think after popping a freaking 28, you wouldn't take it off the rest of your life. But, well, how long did it
you know why? You know why it didn't bring a lot of confidence? Total reaction. Thing hit the water, he blew it up. I put almost
That's
no...
That's just how good it is.
I know. I put almost no confidence. Like, when we're out fishing, you know, we're out fishing, we're changing flies constantly. Mm-hmm. And when I get a big reactive bite when things are slow, like, it lands and they blow it up, I'm like, doesn't necessarily give me confidence in the bug. Because I think it's I think it's more a well-placed triggered, cast than anything else.
Triggered and...
Because I think there's a lot of bugs they'd blow up if you put it on their face and they're, you know, like that.
There's a Scotty Hall looking in the window. Scotty Hall, there's a drunk guide looking in our windows. Yeah.
Speaking of drunk guides, lazy piece of shit.
We've already talked shit about him. It's like, kind of looks like a howler monkey, doesn't
it? Yeah, a little bit. He does. Let's let him in and get him on the camera real quick.
I don't know. He's pretty handsome.
Are you guys talking to yourself?
Yeah, we're filming a podcast. You want to come say hi?
Are you really?
Here, say hi right there.
Hey, what's up?
We already talked about you twice.
Yeah.
Come on in.
You want to sit in and wave here?
No, I don't think so.
All right, he doesn't want to.
We've already talked about you today again.
Again, an example of what not to do.
Yes.
He's still alive.
He's just interrupting us.
Oh, yes. Terribly sorry. Everybody.
Nobody can see.
The lights were left on.
Look at him, always taking care of us. Always. Scotty Hall, the guy we're talking about all the time.
Heineken
time.
We're going to reach out to them to be a sponsor as well.
Yeah.
If we get Scotty's face in that beer, we probably get it.
Yeah, we probably get it. See you, Scotty. Okay, so for me, just real quick, the big three colors for me are white, olive, and black. Any fly I'm going out with, I've got those three colors and everything. I think fourth is probably yellow. Fifth is probably tan.
Yeah, I don't have any. There is no, for me, it's that five colors, and it's no matter. I have no favorite. The bad habit having a favorite fly. You can't do it. If you do it, you're stuck. I have a bad habit of starting white in the morning. And I do it, I've said it many, many times, that I do it to see if my cadence is on, to see if my A game's with me. Am I swimming the fly? I track it. Okay, I know why I'm here now. They've let me out of the house.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And it's, but my rule of thumb is follow your skyline, right? Mm-hmm. And dark day, dark fly, all that kind of shit. I don't care. I start with white, but it won't make it 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's when it just gives me that. And then I'm in that rotation. I just see it too often when I see it constantly. I know lots of people that fish two colors of fly, period, end of discussion. Mm-hmm. You leave them fish on the table. And it's just lazy. It's not my business. You do however you want. But if I had two colors of flies, it'd be black and white.
Yeah.
I mean, period. It's just how it would be. And, you know, probably. But I can't. There's no such thing. It's like that's just a dumb thing to say.
If
I could only have five girlfriends, I mean, what would. I mean, that's not what my.
Sorry, Mel. Yeah, I had a day between lakes a couple weeks ago where they weren't really getting on a bite. I was getting a fish every once in a while to move, generally on bigger stuff, but I could not find a rhythm. Got a couple on the dark stuff, and then I finally decided to go back to the slick willy. I think it was my fourth or fifth time going back to it to see if I could make somebody move on it. I picked up 10 fish in about 15 minutes, all 18 to 20, all coming off wood, eating it wide open going downstream. I mean, I could not possibly move the fly faster. You know where the big rock is down below?
What are we talking about? What river?
Between the lakes.
Oh, yeah.
The island below that, I'm walking river left, throwing to the far bank, ripping it past the wood. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's big water out there, and that fly is
pushing,
hauling ass downstream. And they're chasing into the current, and you know, about half those fish came out of the water to eat it. And every single fish had it T-boned with the front hook inside their mouth and the back hook on the outside. Just goes to show, if they want it,
Remember what the saying is? What happened? What do you do next?
What?
Go buy a lottery ticket and seek out everlasting love.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. No, I've gone
suicide
and done
it. Suicide bites are just what they say.
And it was 15, maybe 20 minutes, and then it was done.
Just to correct you, Johnny, you said 10 minutes. So
oh.
At least we're getting more to reality.
Well, I moved a couple other fish outside of those, the key yeah. ones. But and I've been chasing that dragon ever since, and it's never going to come back.
Oh, it'll happen again. But Johnny's caught fish. And so it's just like I said, it's just not a, I mean, I kind of do that favorite color thing in styles of flies, mm-hmm. You know, like, I only have two colors of Nancy's, olive and tan. But I had a spectacular, well, I have and red, or that orange crayfish color, right? And I had a spectacular day on that reddish brown. It's like a rust color.
Yeah.
I also had one of my best jig days ever on a black with a chartreuse tip black. I used to have that two-tone stuff that had the tips dyed. I absolutely killed it on the self-work one day. I have never had a bite on one since.
Rubber legs? Or was
No.
The rabbit.
The rabbit.
The bunny? Yeah.
It had chartreuse on the end of black. And I mean, I thought, I have just dialed the world in.
Cracked the code.
I have never had another bite on one. I've never had one move on the thing. For that matter, not much black.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get in this thing where you have a style of fly, like, I always have all the colors of the Nancy's with me, and even a lot of my prototypes, because there's that fire tiger one.
Yep.
The guys that bass fish them, they crush with that thing. Hmm. Again, one day I had a fish eat one. And so when you're carrying, like, my mission in life is to cut my fly boxes down, go from 700 flies to 100 flies, right? And so you carry the style, like a slick Willie and brown trout, I'm always going to have it. I'm always going to have a whitefish. And I'm always going to have an olive and black and that. I'm going to have a tan and this and that. But it's just really, whenever I do that, no matter what, every time we film, I go through and I've got that last time, maybe I had 400 flies with me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the one I wanted. Only because I didn't have it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I probably would have never fished it, but I really wished I had it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like the girl you once dated and it didn't work out. But then now you're like,
I don't get
you're
it.
Thinking back. And you're like, oh, maybe.
I don't get it.
You don't get the reference.
No.
Okay. Well, it's.
What do you mean it didn't work
out? Let's say, yeah, whatever. It was a relationship that didn't work out. And now you're.
They work out.
You're years removed. And you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe it could work, you know?
No.
It's just because.
What's the saying?
It's just because it's not there.
I'll give you the PG version. That's okay. Like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. There's another one with body parts, and it's a lot grosser.
Mm.
Fly doesn't work, it doesn't work. Don't try it. Okay, where are we at before we get Mel gets yelled mad at me?
That's kind of confusing.
yeah, it was.
All right, let's do Band of the Week. All right, we're back. We cut a bunch of stuff off some minor confusion. We're back.
We're just back. Okay, we were almost done, and I just wanted to... this guy sent me, Britt Holberg, I think's his name, said hi to everybody at the shop and said, a question for the podcast. He said, why doesn't Kelly use foam or incorporate any foam in his fly designs or patterns? And so that was from when we were talking about last couple ago about these floating popper flies.
Yeah, fish chase flies.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's the guy who ties them, I believe.
And so, the guy on that one, and he sent one. I just thought it was really cool because he sent this. He said this is his version of latex, and it's wrapped latex. Got a little spinner blade behind it. Really badass, right? But he asked the question. I said, and by the way, this is going up next to the other one. And down, I got to bring Bill's. We were shooting a show. Has that thing come out yet?
No.
We were shooting a fishing show, and we were with my buddy Bill, who I talk about, you know, the best gear guys I've ever known. And for those of you who can see this, we can do a close-up. He had this giant brownie, this thing, so hard it broke the bill off of it. I've never seen one break a bill off of it.
No, I think it must have pounded it.
Yeah, so really that's going up here next to the...
Yeah, that's a little foreshadowing. We've got a show. I'm working on it right now. I think it's going to be a fun one. Bill had a big fish eat that.
Yeah.
We're not going to ruin what happened.
Yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, he asked why I don't incorporate more foam into my flies. And, you know, I've been asked this a ton, why I don't have a salmon fly, being on one of the best salmon fly rivers in the world. And I don't use foam a lot. And it's not that I find it somewhat soulless, but I do put it, I've put it in floating streamers like popper tails and stuff. And I have done quite a few foam flies. I've never come up with one that I really thought was worthy or, and I've got a bunch of them actually. I do use it. I don't particularly like to use it so much. I've used it in and out of streamers, but in the salmon fly world, the only reason is because I've just never done one I thought was as good as everybody else's. And in particular, like that little brat that works for us, Kyler, who's a superstar, a little son of a bitch, he'll sit here and watch. He'll stare at me tie something. He'll just stare at me. What are you doing? I'm just watching. And then he'll do one and it's better. And it really pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't like him.
And so, I mean, I'm looking at him. He's a
cocky little bastard too.
Him and Chuck's fly, their foam flies, and my brain doesn't think with the foam well, right? Yeah. It just isn't part of my super realistics and that kind of stuff, just not in my wheelhouse. And when I do one, mine, and I've done some that fished pretty well, but they just look like shit.
Yeah.
And so the reason I don't use it more is my brain doesn't think with it very well. I just love watching people that do it well. I mean, Burkholder, the guy that started this whole thing with the BLT and his flies, Ken Burkholder, it's really hard to me, everything you do is a copy of him in some way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Water Walker. And it's just, everything seems to be kind of, I've got a bunch of my own little, like my squalas. I got a bunch of salmon fly or goldens that I do, but they're just really not pretty. They fish good, but they're just not, they just don't look good. So that's the only reason I do it. I mean, it never interested me because I just feel like it doesn't, I don't know.
Jack brought this up the other day. Remember we were talking, somebody asked a question about ugly flies that fish.
Mm-hmm.
Cat puke. The cat puke, yeah. Salmon fly.
Yeah.
Man, I hammered him on that last year.
Oh, that is you get an
ugly bug.
I fished the golden cat puke through the after the. I think it's a better or as good grasshopper as it is a golden.
Probably, yeah.
But if you fish salmon flies at night and you don't have a number two black cat puke, you are missing the boat. They're not looking for the fly. They're listening for it. And when that thing hits, oof, it's game over.
Yeah.
That is like, I thought of another one that was an ugly one. I can't forget what it was now. That again, I thought this was not going to happen, but I'll come around.
Band of the week. I'm going, it's not a band, but a guy, Bill Withers.
Oh, I like Bill Withers. Band of the week. Oof, Steppenwolf. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's that movie? Vietnam era, came out in 1968. Steppenwolf's like, his name on the motorcycle?
Yeah. Easy Rider?
Yeah, Easy Rider.
Yeah. Didn't work out for him.
All right. Well, that was episode 29.
That was 29.
29. Yeah, we'll make sure I get that at the beginning.
Fun stuff. Sorry about getting pissed off. Sorry about the potty mouth.
Yeah.
Good times. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for watching, y'all.